Big boy's settled and he's got six of the best and can't sit down. We can begin. You're here for the big show. It's the show that deals with all of the big technology stories of the week, and there aren't any. All there are is, you know, like the first 5 minutes where I do the jokey stories? We've got about 30 of those. They're all jokes. There's no serious news that's worth talking about. And I include Windows 8.1 in that as well. I'll wait for the letter of complaint. Thank you very much. Right, joining me, new panel for some people. Top left, Paul Wright.
Hello from Norwich.
Hello from Norwich, mate. IT tech and lifesaver.
Thank you. Well, being from Norwich or being on the show?
Being on the show, mate. How you been, mate?
I've been fine. New job. My head hurts, but yeah, it's been great.
Are you coming to the bash?
Of course.
Good man.
Has it get wet this year, are we?
Well, we're indoors if we are. We've got an indoor venue that we can use, so we can be outdoors or we can be indoors. We can be on grass or we can be on a wonderful badminton court.
Yeah, I'll be on a 5 a.m. train up to see you all.
And don't walk from the station this year, eh?
No, it's a little further than I thought.
Yeah, it's about 6 or 7 miles.
Yeah, I realise that. in the rain.
But you boys from Norwich, you do be used to walking, don't you?
We're fine. We're all right.
Good lad. Next to him, who has no idea what we've just said, Jeff Garrett.
You know, it doesn't matter what language you're speaking in. Usually I have no idea what people are saying.
Nah, thanks,
I just smile.
How's it?
Along for the ride.
Is the forest fire out yet?
No. Okay. But I have good news and bad news.
Okay.
The good news is the forest fire that started last October is officially out.
Okay.
Yay!
Yes. And that's the one that's a lot closer to me. The Big Meadows fire, the one that started a couple weeks ago, it's not out, but it's contained, and they can't put it out. So it's going to continue to burn all summer long and into the winter. And so hopefully we'll get enough snow throughout the winter to put it out.
How big's the bloody meadow?
Apparently big enough to burn all winter.
Is this your local equivalent of the Springfield tire fire?
Yes, but it smells better.
Yeah, tire fires aren't good. Beneath him, the dulcet tones there of... I can't get over he's come on this show. It's Dr. Happy Mac, but we're not allowed to say Mac, so it's just Dr. Happy.
Or Andrew.
Oh, Dr. we can call you Andrew.
Yeah. Yes.
Let's call you Andrew. It's Andrew Stevenson.
It's Andrew Stevens, yeah.
Stevenson, even. I forgot the other... well, Andrew Stevenson's, a.k.a. Dr. Happy Mac, he will be Andrew Stevenson tonight because he's talking about non-Mac stuff. This must be a relief.
Apparently. Yeah, I have to wonder. If you wanted to, I could talk entirely about non-technology stuff as well.
Well, yeah, but that's not a talent, dude. We've all got that ability. We prove it every week. Next to Andrew, I'm never going to get used to that, is Carl Madden. How you doing, mate?
Hello, sir. I'm fine. Well, thank you very much.
Of here and there fame.
Indeed, yes. Now, nice show out at last this week, and it's fast approaching my bedtime, actually. I just noticed.
All right, mate. Well, we won't be too long. Now, there's a special episode last week, wasn't it? People have a route to a reward, no?
Possibly, yes. There's hidden in there somewhere is a little trinket to get you something.
But you've got to listen to the Here and There show, and you've got to suss out what it is and get in touch. And the mechanism of receiving it will be laid out for you.
Yes.
Is it like that horrible rabbit thing that no one ever found? That the bloke published... Do you remember that in the 80s? The bloke published a book, and he hid a jewelled rabbit.
They found
somewhere.
It.
Did they
found
find it,
yeah.
It?
They found it after about a few weeks. or days, even.
Do you know how they found it?
Go on.
They found it because he got divorced and his wife told her boyfriend where it was.
I thought they never found that.
No. One person actually solved the riddle and he was correct. And he went to dig it up and he found that a couple of days before the author's wife and her new boyfriend had been there before them. And he dug it up and they melted it down and sold it for the gold itself.
Lighters.
Well, I never...
Wow.
Go.
Yes.
Kit, you learn something.
No, a bunch of dicks.
Kit somebody or other, wasn't
it? Kit, yeah. Oi. Who's invited Flash Gordon?
It's Bing the Merciless.
And last but by no means least, smack in the middle, strange position for you, girl. It's Sarah Gray.
Hello.
How's it going, girl? You're in Ireland, then?
I'm in Ireland, yes.
Don't do an Irish accent, for God's sake.
No, I don't know.
You get letters.
I normally takes a few more before I'll start thinking about doing that.
No. How you been? Getting pissed, I hear.
Well, yeah, that was a distant memory ago now. Yes, it was.
You should have no memory if you did it properly.
I can't believe that was a week ago.
Yes, a whole week.
Yes, I hope you all had a good show.
No, there was just three of us.
The same without you.
There was just four of us, rather, because it... we forgot you weren't coming.
Oh.
I'm good. Right, okay. I am shit up with the bookings. We had six until a minute ago. Crap.
Oh, well, never mind.
The Week in Tech. Let's start it off with a bloke who reckons he's going to make a fortune by selling square wheels. Yes, you heard me right. Right. A bloke has invented square wheels that go on your skateboard, and allegedly, the square wheels run better than round ones.
Rubbish.
There is less friction on them, and they run far better. There you go. There's a picture of them. And it's a smoother ride as well, apparently.
Oh.
All gone square.
It's all gone square, Shane.
I was going to say Tosh,
no
actually,
idea but... how difficult it is for me to keep from turning this into a non-family show right now.
Right, you want to say bollocks, do you?
Oh, that's right. I can totally do that because people think I don't know what it means.
Yeah.
That's a... big bag of bollocks. Big
bollocks. We got Gavin to swear. Cool.
That's a big bollocks palooza happening right there. Square wheels. Yeah, right.
Now, actually, it is rather clever. And if you go to the website and have a look, it's you can see the story on inhabitat.com. The wheel of the future is here. It's shaped like a cube. And it is a cube-shaped wheel in the way that it's done. But the way it's laid out, as the thing moves, it creates a round profile. And it actually creates a more efficient round profile than a round wheel, which actually squashes on one side and causes friction. This thing is amazing. You've got to look at the video on it, but there's a kid riding a skateboard, and he rides further than another kid on a skateboard that's exactly the same. It's got round wheels. It's a more efficient way of rolling, because the
round wheel deforms.
It's not. It's the truth. Would I lie to you lot?
So I assume what happens is that when it's rolling, as it gets to the edge, it squashes, so it turns it more into a round shape.
Yes, something like that. It's all science stuff,
tech stuff
that I don't understand, but never mind. Charles Dunson has taken over at Carphone Warehouse this week. He's ousted Roger Taylor, who was the chief executive, and said...
the one from Queen?
Out of the way. No, he's the one from... wasn't he the one from Duran Duran?
I was just going to say that, Duran Duran.
Roger Taylor was in Queen.
He was shitting Duran Duran. I'm not surprised he's no good at running a cell phone warehouse.
Charles Dunson's doing a Michael Dell, is he?
He is. He reckons he can do a better job and take it back, so he shoved him out of the way.
Well, it is his company.
Well, yeah, it was. He's chairman, isn't he, still, so... And he's Sir Charles Dunson, to give him his proper self-indulgent title. Auto Rip for Amazon is coming to the UK. Now, you've had this in the States for a while, Jeffrey. Was it heralded as fantastic? Or does no one use it now?
Oh, people were all excited about it. Excuse me. Yeah, and it's just kind of there. And the impression I'm getting is people are looking at this more as a really cool novelty. Is it? They can say, hey, you know that CD that I bought and still have? All of a sudden, I can download it for free, too. And now they have another copy of the music they already have.
But, I mean, maybe it's because of the age group that I am, and a lot of people that I know are of a certain age, like myself, and remember wistful times when you used to go in and buy things on vinyl. But they like the experience of holding the CD and being able to rip it in case they lose their cloud copy, etc., etc., etc. And I would have thought this was quite a good sales point for middle-aged old farts like us.
Well, it is. Anything you bought from 1999, you can apparently, as long as they've agreed to it, of course, licensing-wise, you can download and you have access to. And this also means presents that you've bought for someone else, you also get access to that music because they don't know it wasn't for you.
Oh,
that's a good point. All right, now it's suddenly a little more intriguing.
Everyone I know is getting a frigging CD this year.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, to quote an example, guys... as I think I've said before on the show, I firmly believe in the idea of having CDs as a backup to the MP3, as Ewan alluded to.
And, you liar, you wanted that.
I recently bought an album that I deliberately bought it with the intention of thinking, okay, I'm also going to have the MP3 copy of this.
So what you're saying is
I went into HMV and bought it knowing I was going to do that with it.
Right.
You buy the CD on Amazon.
Yeah, they send it
to you. Rip the MP3 down onto your computer from the new service and then make a burn a backup CD copy of it.
But don't you get the copy straight away? You get as soon as you buy it, it's available immediately, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Yes. So you
that's the advantage, I think.
Well, could you then download it and cancel your order before they ship it?
Oh, good point.
That would be illegal. Well, it would be theft, but
they could just go in and delete the MP3s, can't they? Because they have access to them.
What? Not once you've downloaded them, surely?
Well, no, maybe not, actually. Yeah, it could be true.
Once you've downloaded them,
that's it.
You have them, and they're not copy protected. So I'm sure there are some people that do that, but most of us are into good karma, or at least good bourbon. And so I bet they aren't having that many people that are ripping them off.
Pearson in the chat room says, of all the albums that I've bought through CD on Amazon, only one of them's appeared in the Cloud Player for me. Now, you say it goes back to 99, though, Carl.
Yeah, but it's an ongoing process, I think, while they're rolling it out.
So will the old CDs he's bought appear or not appear?
Allegedly, anything as long as the companies have licensed the agreement for them to do it, they will appear eventually.
They will. Okay. Sarah Jane still has an 8-track in the car, says Sam.
Not quite.
And Mark Shepherd is definitely into good caramel.
Believe it or not, in my car, I do. The radio does actually have a cassette in it. So I'm not too far off that.
Even my old van's got a CD player.
Yeah, my Saab's got a cassette player in it.
Don't use it, but.
No.
I'm sure Andrew does neither, but.
No, never used it.
You want to get one of those. You want to get an old cassette. And then get one of those cup holder things and super glue it to the cassette and then insert the cassette. Because you're never going to want to get the cassette out again, are you? So,
what I did get for a while after I first got the car was one of those things where it's a cassette with a wire attached to it. Put the cassette in and you plug the cable into the MP3 player.
Oh, they were awesome.
Yeah, well, they were. But the problem is the amount of noise that you get from them means that actually it becomes unlistenable to eventually.
Batwitch in the chat.
By eventually, you mean 1 minute?
No, not quite. I think I used it for a couple of months.
Oh, you have much higher tolerance than I did. I think I was able to listen for a minute before I yanked that thing out and it was gone.
Spookily, says Pearson, it's the one I bought in 1999 that's appeared.
They're working backwards, obviously.
Forwards. Batwitch says, talking about music, you can get Save the Badgers in iTunes, but I've heard they're a shit band. I won't be buying that. Back in the day, our cars were far noisier, says Spleegosh.
I was hearing that you did the BMW M Series sports saloons.
Yes.
That they are so quiet that the car actually plays a recording of the engine to you as you drive it.
I heard something about that.
But not
yes, because
not
people are freaked out because they couldn't hear their engine.
It's a simulated recording of a generic engine. It's not the actual engine of your car. So you're in your car, revving away, listening to a computer-generated engine.
Yeah.
Did we talk about that, or was that, did I hear it from somewhere else?
I don't know. I know they make a lot of white noise and stuff, but not fake noise.
But that is just seems utterly mental.
It does. It does.
That's a really nice way to put it.
Facebook has had a bit of a bug. Apparently, 6 million user accounts got leaked out to various parties. And there's another story that's come out saying that this isn't just confined to Facebook users, it's affected non-users as well. Anyone know any more about that?
What do you mean by non-users?
People affiliated, I guess, but...
In your contacts list. Because sometimes when you load stuff up to Facebook, it asks permission to access to your contacts, and then it's pulled other people in who aren't necessarily on Facebook. They suck their information in as well.
Ah. All right. So from what I understand, what happened was that the database was including personal information, namely emails and phone numbers that you hadn't included in your public information. And so if someone downloaded your profile, mm-hmm. it could include information that shouldn't have been publicly visible. So if you just went to the website and looked at someone's information, you wouldn't see this. You had to actually download it. And the Facebook people are saying, look, it's not that big of a deal, because really the only people that had access to this are people that you already had some sort of association with, because they knew how to find you. And boy, I just feel so much better already.
Sax in the chat room says, who the hell gives Facebook real information anyway? Oops.
Well, lots of people, unfortunately. That's the problem, isn't it? A lot of people, to them, a lot of people now, Facebook is the internet. And it's one of the few, because Facebook sucks everything in and doesn't really let you out again once you're in there. All the information comes into Facebook. Normal people just use the internet rarely, do consider Facebook their interaction with the world. And they rarely leave Facebook, because when you follow a link, it stays in Facebook. When you watch a video, it stays in Facebook. Look at a picture, stays in Facebook.
It's true.
So as far as that, you know, many of them never wander outside its walls.
People organise their social lives through Facebook alone. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's probably the first page they click on every morning, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the definition of addiction. The first thing you do every morning is an addiction, whatever it is.
Oh, God.
Wait, busy going to the loo.
Reaching for a fag. Mark Shepherd in the chat room says, that's an addiction. Mark Shepherd says, could really mess with your mind if the CG noise got softer every time you press the gas pedal harder. I like that.
That's a good idea.
You got some technician who's going to be arrested in Basingstoke somewhere at the Mercedes garage for frigging with the thing and reversing the polarity or something. Vroom.
I want it to sound like George Jetson's car. You know, so you step on the gas and it does that sort of sound. That would be awesome.
We want Fred Flintstone with the feet pattering along, surely.
Oh, that'd be great, too.
Bowen says, with Facebook, do you know how many ads I get for bras and shoes?
Just as many as me, maybe.
I didn't get your contact details. I'm sorry, that was one of the ones sent to me, so I'll have to see. I'm lying about that bit, by the way. And I think this is the coolest thing since cool things were ever thought of. DuPont and PMA are bringing you a desktop that is a wireless charging station.
Oh.
What? You know when you get wireless... exactly. You know when you... It's freaking charging. You know when you get the contactless charging thing, and you have to buy the little spud dish and that kind of stuff and put it in it, and you're like, yeah, okay, I get that, it's fine. You're sitting there going, DuPont have thought about making that into a desk. Oh, that was so... That was so easy. That was a connection I should have made. I could have patented
it's
that.
Brilliant.
It's so simple. It's stupid.
Just think of all the devices you could do it with as well.
Oh, mate, this table would clear almost. No cables. It all comes in. What you want as well is if you do syncing. Oh.
I'm so bad at charging. It'd be so good. I've got the cables all set here to charge. But I never plug it in, I always forget, and I'm like, oh, I didn't do it, I could just put it down, and I'd be laughing.
Can you imagine if all the tables in Starbucks had this?
Oh, my God.
Batwinch thinks someone's just had an orgasm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be in my bunk. Holy crap.
You want one of these, don't you? They don't even make them yet, and you want one. It's $2,000 a table, and you still want one.
Have three.
Drawback is you've still got to buy a shit little box to put your iPhone in or whatever to make it charge. So they haven't worked out how to do the direct connection through the box yet into your middle of your device.
Well, that not that crap looking.
Yeah,
that it's quite stylish.
It looks
to be
great.
Fair to them, and that's probably not their fault. That's the fact that to make it seamless, the technology needs to be built into the phones.
Yeah, I know. I'll take the Pisco. It looks gorgeous. I think that looks fine. The little brass or coppery stuff on the bottom looks nice. I think that's excellent. That's idea of the week for me. That's my cool thing before we even start, and you can't even buy it. I just want them to be credit as well. It's DuPont and PMA, not just DuPont on their own. But I love that. I think that's gorgeous. Samsung have released a curved display at 55 inches that they say is flawless. Now, I got this story, and I saw curved display, and I thought to myself, that's curving the wrong way.
What do you mean?
Surely it should curve outwards, not inwards.
Convex rather than concave.
Yeah.
No, because you sit there in the middle and it sort of pretends to come round you. But I wonder how much it sticks like off the wall.
Surround, isn't it?
Yeah, but most people stick their TVs in the corner of the room and the person that sits at the other end can't see it.
Oh, yeah, that's what my point was going to be. If anyone's sitting on the far left or right of this, they're going to have trouble seeing the telly.
Exactly. They won't see inside the curve. But no. My point was, if you're going to make a curve, if you're going to go to all of that technological research and development, you'd sit and think, well, how's it going to be used in the end? And it's not going to be used in the centre of a room with one person sat in the middle looking for an immersive gaming experience. It's going to be Auntie Ethel sat in the corner looking at the curve TV and saying, I can't see Tom Jones on The Voice.
Yeah, because she's going to buy a $13,000 TV, isn't she?
No, Auntie Ethel's visiting. That's why. Oh, okay. That's why you don't give her the prime seat, mate. Listen, you're only visiting, you old cow. Sit up there and stop complaining. See?
Go and sit in the guest room and watch the telly in there.
Exactly. That's why we've got a guest room, and that's why we make you use the outside toilet.
I do feel sorry for these TV manufacturers, because they created HDTV, and everybody loves it. I mean, it's virtually done away with all CRT TVs now. But now, the HDTVs are good enough for everyone. So they're trying to think up these gimmicky things like 3D TVs and various other things that you have. You can, like, see two shows at once and this curved display thing. But the problem is, no one's really going to upgrade, because from a CRT to a HDTV, there was a massive jump and people could see a reason for doing it. Whereas now it's just like silly little gimmicks.
Yeah, I mean, I don't get the push to 4K, I have to say.
Well, they do. When you 4K see them flesh, though, isn't, I mean, it's pretty awesome.
But you have to have an 80-inch television before you can really start to discern the quality difference in a 4K TV.
Yeah.
Our eyes don't have the resolution to be able to pick out the difference below that.
And the problem is, my lounge is only 12 foot wide.
What? Looks like we're going to have to knock out a wall, Ewan.
Oh, hell, I like your thinking. My wife hates it, but I love it.
That's a problem for a lot of UK homes, though. We've got small living rooms. We're not America, where they seem to have, apart from like cities like New York and stuff, where we don't have vast living rooms. It's the same where, like, Xbox Kinect is a problem, because you can't get far enough back for it to be useful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a point here in the chat room from Sax, which I'm going to read out, because I think it's a good point. He said, Ewan, how are your monitors arranged when you're doing the show? Is it similar to this screen? And it is, because it starts here with a 30-inch monitor that comes around to here, and then I've got a 27-inch Apple monitor that goes along here. So I've got two big screens here that are both tilted towards me for the purposes of being able to see them, admittedly. But I mean,
the thing is, Ewan, you're then the only person that's looking at it.
Exactly.
That.
Auntie Ethel's sat up there and she can piss off if she wants to see any more.
You normally have more than one or more people looking at the same setup, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. Windrider's off on one tonight. He's put bullocks down as well. Mark Shepherd says TVs are commodity devices, they're just like a toaster. Is it a single-user telly, says Sax?
Yes, I think it is.
Definitely is. I like
or
it.
Or two people that are very, very close.
I like that, yeah.
It's also gamer television, isn't it? It's definitely a gamer TV.
Yeah. Immersive gaming experience, fair enough.
There is another possibility. Go on. Maybe that it's actually a concave telly, that because it's curved, you can go push the corners out, and it's actually, you can turn it into convex.
I really doubt that very much, Sarah.
It's a flexible, friendly telly.
I'm sure the word flexible in the story would have jumped out at me.
We were the other week, we were talking about the stuff that's been created that's just flexible screens.
Yeah, yeah, but that would be in this story, in the press release.
No, I know. I'm not saying it is in this case, but what I'm trying to say is the fact that actually is probably not too far away where you can actually have it either one way or the other.
Did you see the flexible design screens at CES this year? There was one person who got flexible screens there that actually worked, and the rest were pieces of polycarbonate with a piece of paper slubbed down the middle of them.
Yeah, I know. I'm just talking about as a concept. It's probably, we're not too far away from that.
It's only a joke. Sorry.
No, we will get flexible screens at some point in the future, because yeah. We will. It's just, you know, you can unroll your telly and stick it up on the wall anywhere, but this isn't the ads. I'm just saying I just think it's a gimmick. It's a lovely-looking telly. Far too expensive, unfortunately.
Adam in the chat room wants to know if it's a left-handed telly because it's curved. Spligosh says it probably only allows one login. You've got a nod from Sax in the chat room for the flexible friend reference, Carl. Well done.
Thank you very much.
And Windrider says, but why? And he wins with that one, I'm afraid. Is it a TV that doubles as a wobble board, says Spligosh?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Can you guess what's playing it? No, we shouldn't do Rolf Harris jokes, because has he been cleared yet or not?
I don't guess.
I refuse to believe that Rolf Harris is
not
a
go
fiddler.
There.
No, I just
I agree with you, yeah.
I'll stand by him even until he's... Anyway, moving on. Next story. Someone has invented a set of glasses that are anti-Google Glass.
God, dear.
Anti?
Yeah, basically, if anyone with Google Glass looks at you, these glasses create light and reflection and spoil Google Glass's view of your face.
Do they work on security cameras as well?
I don't know. It would be nice. But
I bet they would.
There's a lot of anti-camera technology out there, isn't there?
It's just...
I mean, because it's really about having a strong IR signal that you're just pumping out. Because isn't that pretty much the same way that theaters block people from recording movies? It's like a strong IR blanket.
Whether it's on constantly or not, I don't know, though.
How quaint. I see that in true Daily Mail format.
The
article goes on to say underneath the picture, the privacy visor glasses use near-infrared light to stop Google Glass capturing your face on film.
There's a little film canister in Google Glasses.
I think they don't understand the concept here. I think that's what Andrew's getting at.
Yeah.
If you actually look at the visor itself, I don't know if you've got a picture of it. People moan that Google Glass looks ugly and hinders you in communication. Have you seen what this glass thing looks like?
It's basically got six LEDs, eight LEDs along the top, and then three, but two of which sit in front of your eyes.
Yeah. And it costs the same as Google Glass as well.
Yeah, they look like they've been made out of safety specs too.
So just like Google Glass, these are birth control glasses.
And only bought by white guys. White middle-aged men. There you go. There you go, that's the picture of them. They've got eight LEDs across the top and three, two of which sit in front of your eyes. One over your nose. I bet it gets warm as well. And it's obviously got an external power source, because that's a set of safety glasses. Because look at the leads disappear off.
And look at the wires strung off the side.
Well, they're taped on with plastic PVC tape. So I'd say that's pre-alpha.
I can't believe it. All this nonsense about Google Glass. I mean, we used to be in shot with cameras all the time, everywhere we go, be it phones, be it security cameras, be it anything. It's just a fact of life. You're out in public, people can look at you.
Mate, I've been down to my daughter's school sports day today. I'm the official photographer there this afternoon for an hour and a half. And there's parents jostling like you wouldn't believe at the end of, on the finish line. And they're all stood there with their phones out, cell phones out, trying to video the kids running. And they're all stood holding the cell phone in portrait.
I want to get
a machete and solve one problem after another right there.
You do it with a lightsaber.
Take their arms off.
Have you passed the CRB test then, Ewan?
Yeah, no, actually. I got confused. No, I'm kidding. I didn't.
Do you think they even realise that you could use the camera in landscape?
It's not CRB anymore, is it? It's DHM or something. It's DSS. DCS and bar. It's a different thing now, and it's transferable as well. You've only got to have one, and you can take the certificate, and they'll accept it elsewhere. So there you go.
I've got some very specific and very esoteric requirements.
For what? For what?
But to pass the test. For passing the DHM test.
The DHM test, yeah. And is it transferable? Once I have a DHM certificate, will anyone else recognise it?
Yes. Yes, they will.
I was told by my neighbours that I would not be able to take pictures of their daughter dancing as they were at work. As even though it was at a public event, it was on school grounds at the village fete. No, you can't do that.
See, I'm quite surprised your school even allowed people, parents, to take pictures, because a lot of them do that blanket ban on these events now.
No, my school's brilliant. My school, my daughter's school, their policy on photography is if you don't want your picture taken for your kid, piss off.
It is weird how the landscape has changed, though, because, like...
well, it's not. It's portrait. That's the trouble.
When I go to my mate's house, and they've got their son, and he runs around in the garden, and for some reason they don't take photos of their kid. I don't know why. And I'm saying to him, you're going to miss all these times. You're going to have nothing to look back on. So I say, is it okay if I take pictures of you? You know, of him running around, having fun. And they're okay with it. But the fact that I feel conscious enough to have to ask just says to me how much the landscape's changed from like when we were younger.
Well, I've been.
Wouldn't even think about it in the old days of like asking to.
I've been processing digital images now for getting on for 11 years. And my system for processing digital images was to have the originals, and then what I'd do is create another folder. I'd open them in Photoshop, do the corrections on them, and then I'd put them in the other folder. And for years, for 8 years, 9 years, the folder was called Touched Images.
Oh.
And I've changed it. Because I not for any other reason than I'm just like, I don't want that conversation. Excuse me swearing. I just don't want that conversation. It's just pointless. And it's wrong. It's absolutely wrong that I feel that I have to do that. But maybe I shouldn't have picked Touched in the first place, but it's just Touched Images. Mm. You look at an image and you go, is that touched in Photoshop? Touched is the word.
No. But this is what I'm saying. I think the way the whole society has like changed and become so ultra sensitive to this thing over the last few years is not a healthy thing, because I do not believe there are this many weird people hiding, you know, behind the internet wall. There's just as many as there always were.
Yeah.
And we're just led to be, we're taught to live in fear of these people who are out there. And I just don't believe it is as prevalent as it's made out to be.
Well, I did my CRB course, the DCS course, whatever it is, at the rugby club last Friday. And I said, one of the kids that plays for me, his father is a friend, and he's also a coach of the team, and he's two down from me on this course. His lad sent me a friend request on Facebook. Do I accept it, or do I tell him to piss off? Because I'm not going to tell him to piss off. So I accepted it. And they went, oh, no, that's a no-no. That's an absolute no-no. You don't accept a friend request of one of your students. I'm not. It's not a student. I teach rugby at the weekend. Yeah, but you're his teacher. No, I'm his coach. I'm not his teacher. And I teach a bit of rugby as a coach, and he sends me a message saying hello, and I send one back saying hello, and then he sends me another one and I say, how you doing, I hope you're better soon if he's ill or something like that, and then he doesn't send me one anymore, and it's all done and dusted. And actually what I'd really like is the fact that Facebook will have a constant record of everything I've ever said, including any messages that I've deleted. They'll be able to recover them and say that they were sent. So if any allegations are made about what I did in Facebook, I've got an absolute record there that can't be taken away from me. Surely I'd be better off doing that than sending a text or talking to them face-to-face. You're so far out of touch with what face social networking is about, it is untrue. And the RFU is so far away from understanding social networking.
As parents, you know, it makes us feel bad, you know. There's nothing that, you know, you do nothing wrong by sending pictures at school events or the sports the other day, but I almost feel bad by catching someone else's child in a photograph because they might turn around and say, why are you doing that for?
Yeah. No, I mean, Battery in the chat room says that you've got four different places, you've got to have four different CRBs, and they're non-transferable. The CRB is gone, it is the DSC or the DST or the DFC and bar, whatever it is, and that is transferable. You only need one, and you take the certificate to a person, and whoever else is has got that has to do it. So, there you go.
Presumably, it's still time limited,
Ewan. It's 3 years. It'll last for 3 years, and that's
same
it. Yeah.
CRB.
Right, let's do the proper news. I don't know why. I've got to say, I put this in the doc, and you guys can correct me if I'm being outlandishly stupid here, but why would you have a stage performance for a point update on a piece of software? Microsoft released 8.1, and Barmer took to the stage at a developers conference.
Cheers, they're worried.
They're crapping themselves.
Wow.
They're embarrassed, I think. It's such a backstep.
Well, fill us in, Paul, on the changes. What's the significance of 8.1?
Well, you know, there's a lot of the obvious things is that you can boot into desktop. Again, the start menu is back. It's not, it's the start button. But I think they're bringing a lot of the old things from Windows 7 back to familiarise people who were a bit scared by Windows 8. Obviously, I work in IT, and the first thing that people say to me is, this is terrible. And the problem is they buy a lot of non-touch laptops, and they're very difficult to use without a touch interface. And the first thing we do, we install an app called Classic Shell, which basically puts the desktop back front and centre. And people really hate it, but I think Microsoft, if my theory is if they'd have released 8.1 as Windows 8 like a year ago or whatever, it wouldn't have been so badly received.
Yeah, I mean, you said climb down on a tweet earlier.
Yeah, it is a climb down, because the same way that with the Xbox, you know, we're not going to let you sell your games, and like, oh, we're going to climb down on that, and it's like people go, where's the start button, where's the desktop? You know, the first question anyone asks me when they bring a Windows 8 laptop is, where is my desktop? And can I have it? Can I boot into that? And it's, well, yes, you can, but it's a hack. And that's not the way that Windows should be. And I think Windows 8 as initial release is a fail, because it's pushed a lot of people away. And what we've had at work is a lot of people go, well, if I'm going to learn Windows 8, I'll buy a Mac, because if I'm going to learn something new, I'll learn something on that shiny new laptop that's got 9 hours battery life, looks nice, and this works for my phone. I think it's pushing people away, and this backstep looks more embarrassing than it does anything else.
Can you consider it a climb down, though? Then, because what they've done is they've obviously listened to the outroar that was created with the Windows 8, and they've just said, OK, we've done too much. Let's give the customers what they're asking for now.
But they're only replying to complaints. They're not going to any kind of... You know, when Apple do it, they kind of go, well, this is what you want. We know you want it. We're going to tell you you want it. We're going to change it.
Exactly, but Windows, when Windows gets installed somewhere on the platform, like it covers a much wider area than anything Apple does. Yeah. So if you've got, like, if you annoy all your Windows people out there in the world, there's probably billions of people out there. And to have them not upgrade to your new product because it's too new, I mean, this is what they said about Apple a little while ago when Mavericks came out. They said, oh, it's not innovative, it's just the same thing. But they know you can't change things that dramatically and expect everyone to keep up with you.
I think there's a no-win here a little bit for Microsoft, though, because we keep going on about saming. Everyone that came out with Vista were like, holy crap, Vista. And then 7, well, 7's a big improvement. 7 actually works. 7 looks nice as well. And then we're all saying, but you know, really, they haven't innovated. They're still working in Windows. It's called Windows. That's not going to change. The start button's still the start button. And then, lo and behold, they get rid of the start button. They get rid of all the Windows. Give us these blocks, which is an immense design change. Like it or love it, you know, hate it or love it, rather, that they've made an effort to change. And now we're all saying, oh, it's a pile of crap because there's no start button.
But the problem is the devices haven't been there to back it up. People have kind of thrown things at the wall, you know, convertibles, detachable tablets, you know, the Lenovo Yoga that flips all the way. There's not been one that's kind of got people that gives you the kind of flexibility of the desktop and the touch interface.
I mean, at the moment on I think it's eBuyer, there's a touch screen laptop there that's Core i5 and it's £295. Running Windows 8. That's got to be getting a subsidy from Microsoft.
Oh, yeah.
There's no way.
You throw the confusion of RT into that as well. I think that's where a lot of the confusion is. Because we've got RT.
Go ahead, Jeff.
So if they uninstall Windows 8 and put like Windows 7 or Linux on it, would the resale value go up? and I'm saying it partially tongue-in-cheek, but also is the perception of Windows 8 so bad right now that people will pay less for a computer because that's what's installed?
Well, I think there's no way, looking at the hardware specs, there is no way that computer can be made for I think it might be 329, not 295, but it's certainly below £400, below $600.
Wow.
It cannot be made for that amount of money.
But then how much, like, crapware has it got on it that they're subsidising as well? Not just Windows 8 being...
Yeah, you know, maybe loads, but the hardware bill came to a lot more than 329. Sax in the chat room says, you and One Huge Issues, they have all customers, mostly important business ones, and have memory muscle that's taken a decade for them to build up. And Splitty Gosh says, is this the Xbox 180? Very good. Mark Shepard says he's happy that Microsoft at least tried something different. Spligos says, Jack of all trades, master of none. Sludgeware. Windrider. Someone tutted there, ready to speak.
No, I was just saying, there's nothing actually fundamentally wrong with Windows 7 as far as, you know, because I always, it was always my favourite operating system, you know, up until that point. And it was always worked well, and, you know, once you get the Service Pack 1 out of the way and a few issues initially, but it was a hell of a lot better than what went before it.
Absolutely.
And it was easy to, everyone understood it. All the businesses you went into know how to use basic Windows, you know, so you learn at home and then you take it into work. You don't have to do that much training to fundamentally change how Windows worked overnight, specifically, effectively, was a terrible move. If you're a small company, you can get away with it. If you're a massive, like, worldwide conglomerate, you can't do that. There's too many people depending on your OS.
So it's okay for Apple to do something like that to tell you what you said have, Apple, but not Microsoft.
Yes,
that's not the way we kind of do it here, Andrew. It's
so Apple would do it. If Apple did it, there'd be a load of people moaning and complaining. People are moaning, complaining about the little tweak that the new OS is getting in a few months. Right, but it's not changing fundamentally how the OS works and how it looks and how you interact with it.
A lot of drivers will still be fine, and sound cards that you've got will still work, and plug-in devices will still be fine. Whereas when Windows changes, you do seem to find that there's an awful, you know, the uptake on driver change is hugely bad.
I just think with Ewan is what Ewan said here. Microsoft can't win. They've got a much bigger user base, so the impact when they do say, "Right, this is what this is where we're going, this is what you're going to have," is that much bigger than, you know, understandably, than if Apple do that. So, you know, I mean, there's going to be a lot more outcry, which is what we're getting, and it's perfectly understandable. I think they should stick to their guns and go with it, because in the long run, it'll be fine. And
Windows use in this way. One is that Apple can do it because their user base is not corporate, and people have much more flexibility about how they adjust to any changes that Apple make. And the other second one is like Microsoft actually making the change. And in some ways, I think I disagree with Carl. I think kudos to Microsoft. They've worked out that what they were providing is going, at some point it's going to have to change. The paradigm that they're working to is no longer valid, and the history of tech is littered with companies that made the switch too late or never made the switch. And I think Microsoft made a massive internal decision not to be that company.
But Windows is very consumer-focused, isn't it? You know, I work in enterprise IT and we're skipping Windows 8. There's no part of the Metro modern interface that we would ever use. Maybe when 8.1, if we adopted it, we'd automatically skip to the desktop.
I don't.
That's almost half it would be lost.
Well, I work for large multinationals a lot of the time, and I don't attend any companies that aren't running Windows XP.
But why did I wonder why possibly never, or perhaps it was like investigated, but Microsoft say, okay, we're going to have two strains of Windows. You're going to have the Office type one, the Enterprise type one, and we're going to have a consumer outlet, so to speak. And then they can put all the flashy stuff in the consumer stuff. And then once that, if that takes hold and builds up a base, then one day they can start slowly pulling it over to the corporate base.
But don't forget, 3 years ago, we were giving them a kicking over having Windows Pro, Windows Home, Windows Media Center, Windows Pro Home Media Center Edition, Intermediate Professional, Ultimate. No, there was 10 flavors. Yeah,
and they haven't fixed that with Windows 8. They still have far too many versions. And it's way too confusing. I think that's a big problem for Microsoft. Okay, they have other big problems. Yeah. They don't do a very good job of explaining to the public why they're making the changes they make. So in many cases, I think it comes across like they're making a change just because. And then they don't stick to their guns. So we get this whole wishy-washy thing like we're getting now. And now we have the Xbox 180 jokes and now jokes about the start button. And I think that's really bad. I think Microsoft does need to be a little bit more like Apple in that sense, where they streamline the operating system so they don't have all these variations. Mm. And they have to find someone. They need to find a company and pay them gobs of money to teach them how to present their products, especially their operating system, in such a way that that it doesn't leave people confused or pissed off.
Where is Microsoft's major income coming from at the moment? Because, as I say, I go to a lot of corporates, and they're running XP. So they haven't upgraded through Vista, through 7, or Office. Through 8 at this time.
Yeah, I'm assuming it's Office and Android licensing fees.
Right.
Because Google pays them a lot of money in Android licensing.
In which case, Windows 8 makes a hell of a lot of sense, because you're not going to sell it to the corporate market anyway, because the corporate market never bought 7 and it never bought Vista. So you might as well make something that you can sell to consumers.
Sure. The corporate market doing a lot of their development years before, so they will move to 7. You know, they'll do 2 years of testing corporate apps.
That's amazing. You will move to 7. You will move to a piece of software that's 3 years old.
Yeah, because they were testing 2 years previous.
Soon.
See, soon. That's a problem right there.
Yeah, soon the corporate market will move to a piece of software that's 3 years old.
Yeah, but that's always the way.
But they're still supporting 7. They're going to pull their support for XP. I don't know if they already have, actually.
Maybe. Yes.
And it's a shame, because like the Microsoft I know was this huge behemoth that could do anything it wanted, because it had so much money. And it just seemed to me personally, in the way I look at it now, it just seems to have been reduced to, oh, we can do that too, we can do that too, oh, we can do that too. And then they never actually achieve it. They just sort of put their feelers out into these different fields like mobile phones and tablets and stuff like this, because it looks like they think they need to be doing those things.
Yeah, rather than focusing on the core business.
Hmm.
Batwinch in the chat room has asked a question. She said, would it be possible to run Windows 3.11 for workgroups running on a G3 Mac as a boot camp? I think the answer's no, but whether your G3 Mac's got a floppy drive or not, I don't know.
Well, not on a G3 Mac, obviously, because it's not Intel. So no, not
oh, that's
a boot camp,
right, those aren't Intel
Mac for that.
So there's no way of running it.
Yeah, no. You could do it under what did Microsoft sell back
like
in the day?
Parallels or something.
The virtualization software that was so. There was a product they sold, wasn't there, that worked on
virtual piece, virtual PC,
virtual PC. Yes, virtual porridge.
Sax has posted a link in the chat room called Lifecycle. I have no idea what that's about though. April the 8th, 2014 is when I think they're walking away, is what he's saying, from XP.
Yeah. See, look, that's a long time.
Batwing says her workplace is hoping to bring in Windows 7 in September.
Yes.
We already have.
Oh, you cutting-edge woman.
Yeah, actually, our work as well, they brought in Windows 7 about three months ago.
Yeah.
But it was still 3 years old.
I know, but that's...
We're still doing Windows 7 rollout right now.
You're still testing. You still do be testing out there in Norwich.
No, we don't be testing. No, we got Windows 7. Don't you worry.
We'll
stop that.
End of life. No, Windows 7 is January 14th, 2020. Is that a Terminator date?
It'll get pushed back even more.
Okay. Maybe. There's a new phone provider out there called Kazam. Kazam. It's a double A.
Crazy name, crazy guys.
Crazy
guys. Is that
guys.
A phone or is it an airtime provider?
It's a cell phone provider, unquote. I think they're providing handsets.
Yeah. Right.
Anyone got any...
Looks like a panto.
Any thoughts that aren't libelous?
I'm thinking I Dream of Genie.
Nope.
Well, that's...
No, you're looking at the... film poster for the Kazam thing with Shaq O'Neal in it from God knows how long ago.
Yeah, I know. That's not... They're called Kazam. K-A-Z-A-M. Z if you're American. they're hoping to weigh in with Huawei, BlackBerry, Sony, LG, ZTE, and HTC as a cell phone provider. It doesn't talk an awful lot in the article about their prices or handsets or...
No, because they're building interest at the moment, aren't they? So.
Yeah, it's something we might do if enough people give us some money. They're looking for venture capital. This is a pile of crap.
And if they haven't even decided what they're going to like base the OS on. Like everyone's assuming it's going to be Android, but there's other ones coming out, Firefox OS and Ubuntu Mobile and stuff. But, I mean, unless it's Android, unless it's one of the fields that have got already a really well, you know, well-developed app environment, it's always going to be new, hard for new companies to come in and break into that field that is like is already dominated by Android and Apple and Microsoft as well. They're starting to push forward as well with their mobile stuff. I don't know. I think they're very brave. If they're sinking their own money into it, they're very brave.
They'll still be getting it made by Qual, what's it name, out in China, the people that make all of the electronic devices in the whole world.
Huawei.
There's Qual, what's it, isn't there? And there's Huawei and Foxconn. And that's it. They make every electronic device that there ever has been for the last 10 years. Kazam's dynamic structure focuses on local markets. It's dynamic because there's only two of them.
And they dress similar.
I sit opposite him on a desk and we say good morning. And then we sit and do nothing for a day and then we go home. Make a lot of calls.
Well, good work if you can get it.
Yeah, nice work. I agree, totally. Now, Paul, you put one in the chat room while we're on the subject of handsets. HTC running native Android.
Yeah, I think it's about time. I think they're so... You know, I've got a couple of friends with Samsung G4s and... They're so frustrated with the amount of rubbish they put on them. And that's that question where, does anyone who owns an Android phone, like, you know, muggles, do they know if it's actually Android or not? And they probably don't. And I think to give people the opportunity to actually see what pure Android is, it's a fantastic thing. And a lot of the tech bloggers have kind of said, when the G4 got it and now the HTC One got it, they've kind of said, this is the phone they all want because... They really want that kind of pure Android experience, untainted.
Has anyone used the HTC One?
I've used it, but with their blink feed and boom sound and other rubbish names, but all the rubbish they put on them, but I haven't used it with stock Android. I don't think we're due to get it. I think it's an American thing only at the moment.
Right.
From what I hear of it, the battery life is absolutely abysmal.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, there are some tweaks, though, apparently, you can apply to fix that.
Yeah, like use the power button, shut it off.
turn off the Wi-Fi. Is it Qualcast, says Spligosh? No, I can't remember the name of them. Spligosh also says, I like my HTC One as it is, a blink feed and all. Thank you very much.
I apologise.
It's a nice-looking phone. I mean, there's no looking wrong with it, but it's whether it operates well or not. But I think the thing that's interesting is, The store is shipping this at $649.
Yeah, it's not going to be subsidised in any shape or form, is it?
No, but that's a pricey phone. To then be running an Android operating system and be competing there at the 32 gig iPhone level.
But isn't it a phone mainly for developers so they can get to the raw Android experience so they can see how their apps interact with it with the raw Android build.
Fair enough.
I still think it's a good idea, and sooner that the manufacturers start to realise that all this bloatware on top really doesn't work and just gets in the way of people's real experience, the better.
But do people really know? That's what
probably
I'm saying.
But
people don't know, and ultimately, since they don't know, they don't care. Well, a subset anyhow. But I think the big thing is for carriers especially, they don't want us to have a pure Android experience. They want us to have the HTC experience or the AT&T experience or the O2 experience, whatever. They want it to be their branded experience for us.
Yeah,
I can well believe that. The guys at my work who have got Android phones don't know they've got Android phones. They just know they've got a Samsung phone, a HTC phone. They don't know what's running underneath it.
Yeah, as long as the front-end apps are there, that's all they care about.
Hmm.
Yeah. Does it tell the time? Does it make a call? Unlike the iPhone.
No, that's not true. You can sometimes tell the time on an iPhone.
Sometimes. But you can't make a call. Westinghouse have released... Now, Westinghouse make fridges, don't they?
They do.
Westinghouse have released an 84-inch interactive whiteboard that's 4K. I've got to say, if Paul Kirkle's on here, Paul Kirkle wouldn't be getting up out of his chair for an hour. He'd have wood like you wouldn't believe.
I shouldn't laugh. I only encourage you.
Is there a market for this, though? I mean, it's $15,000, isn't it? Which is...
There's no market for this at all. I run a department with... You've probably got 70 interactive whiteboards. I do bog standards. And no one uses them.
Really?
No. It's, you know, we've got these pens and all that sort of stuff. They want a projector and they want PowerPoint. That's all they want. The kind of days of writing on a board are so over. My daughter just started a new school and they've got them. They don't really use them. I think it's just old technology wrapped up in new technology, and I don't think it really brings anything. Why would you want it at 4K?
Well, that would be for an artist, I would have thought, where you want a good drawing experience and detail. But otherwise, I can't think why you'd want 4K. But at 85 inches, you probably... pixelation would be pretty high.
Just looks flash, doesn't it? When you go into the corporate room with the big oak desk there and all the leather chairs and you've got this massive wall that's just interactive, it just looks flash. You're going to think, wow, this is a business that's really doing well. Not knowing they're in hock to everything that's in that room.
Yeah. But then again, I work at a place where we have a room where it's just painted all the walls with blackboard paint. So that just tells you how where I work is probably a little behind.
A little bit. A little bit. Google Maps has gone cloud-free. Previously, the north tip of Spain looked like the one on the left. Now it looks like the one on the right. Google has solved all of our weather problems. Oh, it's Northwest South America, sorry. My mistake. Why have they got rid of all... It's just... Is that to make it look like it really does, supposedly?
No, it's so you can have a better... Like, you can zoom into the land and see what it looks like without having clouds on it. Used to be... There were certain parts of England you used to be able to zoom into, but you couldn't see anything because there's a big cloud in the way.
Yeah, but when you get up close, the close views aren't clouded.
Well, some of them were. Really? It was like they were taking photographs and stuff from satellite images and things like that from 2005, I think it was. And now they've outdated it to the Telsat 7. I can't remember what the name of the satellite was. But they've also done Street View.
Landsat
the new
7.
Sorry?
Landsat 7.
Landsat, there. They also done Street View because I looked on, like, the update was pushed down to me pad earlier today. And we've got, outside our house, we've got a new Street View image.
Right.
So that's all been... That's updated as far as... Well, I am anyway. And I looked on some of the maps around me in London, and they're a lot clearer now, and it's different... Because you used to have my mum's car outside the house, but that's not there no more. It's right. Now my dad's car outside the house.
Okay.
So they've updated all the maps and made them, like, higher resolution.
Well, I stood past the Google car came past me a few months back when I was stood at the... Me son and daughter's school, and I was raising my arms like, ah, it's a Google car. I'm not on it. It's definitely updated the image, but I'm not on it. I was gutted.
But he's not always filming when it drives past you.
Well, I figure that out now, haven't I? He probably sits there, oh, Christ, another idiot waving at me. No,
I'm kind of bummed you're not in the map.
Ewan, you sad bastard.
Five minutes later, Ewan.
Ewan, you sad bastard, says Batwench in the chat room.
I have a news story.
Oh, go on then.
Something that broke over here the other day. Telefonica have sold O2 Ireland for 3, which has made 3 the largest airtime provider in Ireland.
Oh.
I've just put a link in to the story. I know, I only just thought about it, sorry.
That's all right.
So it's 3 taking all of O2's transmitters?
Oh, that would be a big one, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Telefonica sells O2 Ireland to Hutchison's 3 for £1 billion. $1 million. Indebted Spanish group Telefonica has agreed to sell its O2 Ireland business for at least €780 million, $1 billion in the cash. Hutchinson's One Power, local unit 3 Ireland, it was announced on Monday. The deal, which is subject to regulatory approval, that won't get it then, would quadruple Three's Ireland market share to 37.5% of the total market and follows Hutchinson's failed bid last year from Aircom, which owns the country's third biggest mobile operator, Meteor. 37% of the total population of Ireland, though, is only about 2 million people, isn't it?
Yeah, I did hear them say that it would actually make Three the largest network in Ireland, though.
Mm.
Obviously going to overtake Aircom's Meteor.
Oh, well. Jolly good. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2. They're stunning. They're great. They're wonderful. We love them to bits. They've got a great load of deals on at the moment. You can get .NETs for $6.49, but you still get your offer codes off, so it's another 20% is going to come off to that, which puts it below a fiver, which is superb. They've also got several free months. I think it's 3 free months on personal servers or something like that. I saw in my email today. Really, really good deals. If you want anything for the web, anything for the net at all, then they are the people to go and see. They're a nice firm. You get great customer services. You get people who are bothered and who care and want to talk to you on the phone if you want to pay the premium rate. But to be honest, you don't need to. If you've got an issue, James Art was on there the other week. He had a bit of a problem with the DNS. It wasn't routing properly. Filled out a ticket. 30 minutes later, bang. It's all up and running. No problem at all. Go to uk2.net. But do it through our webpage and use our offer code through our webpage. We get the kudos, you get a massive discount, and everybody's happy. Craig should be at the Bash, so that should be really good. The Bash is next week. There will not be another podcast until the Bash. There will not be broadcasting live from the event, mostly because you should have bought a sodding ticket, you tight bastards. But also... there's no bandwidth down there, and even if you've got a MiFi or a dongle or something like that, it's pretty shitty. So we probably wouldn't get a signal to send any video up to the net or anything like that, so it's not going to happen. If you want to know what happened, you'll have to wait a week for the podcast to come out, I'm afraid. There'll be no live dial-in or anything like that. Or, alternatively, you can get a ticket. We've got a sponsor. TechSmith have agreed to give us some sponsorship to bail us out of a bit of hole that we were in with the finances. So... the tickets have gone back down to £20 per ticket now, so thanks to them. They're subsidising your ticket if you want to come. If you're going to come to the Bash, now is the week to buy your ticket. Don't be waiting until Thursday night and think, oh, I'll get some tickets off Ewan, because Ewan won't be sending the tickets out on Thursday night. Be too busy. Try and get them early part of the week if you possibly can. Get a ticket, because you will not be allowed in, even if you're proffering a £20 note, you will not be allowed in. I need to tell the caterer how many people are coming, so you can't just turn up and start taking everyone else's food and beer. Please, 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 buy your ticket if you want to come. Thank you very much. Right, it's time for the cool thing. Righty, what you got for us, boy?
Well, it's not too techie, but it's an online thing. As you know, I'm from Norwich.
Mm.
One of our favourite sons is Alan Partridge.
Oh, dear.
And as you may have seen on maybe on the news, he's got a new film out. And Norwich residents are campaigning for the premiere to be in Norwich, not in London. So there's a couple of online campaigns. It's on Twitter and on Facebook. There's a lot of posters, as you can see.
Now, that is what should actually happen, and it's absolutely right. But you're forgetting that it's Steve Coogan who plays Alan Partridge, and Steve Coogan's a complete cock. Steve Coogan wouldn't do the right thing if it was stood in front of him with a $1 million check on it.
Don't break my dreams.
No, Steve Coogan's an absolute prick, mate.
I'm from Norwich, I haven't got a lot.
I've known a couple of people who've met him, and they've said they wouldn't have pissed on him if he was burning. So
look,
I'll have you one of my best friends happens to play his long-suffering assistant, Lynn.
Oh, right. And does she think he's a cock as well?
I couldn't actually say.
That's a yes, then. Right.
So we've got a castle, a cathedral, and relations with relations, and that's all we have. So an Alan Partridge premiere is all we have. So
you need to move.
Paul, it's not going to happen. much as you may love the fact, the reason he picked Norwich because he was taking the piss, mate. He's not going to start the Premier World Premier in Norwich.
Okay. Can I suggest something better?
You'll only get five people in the cinema, probably, so.
They're all my family. Right, well, can I suggest this, which is this fabulous...
The whole of Norwich is your family.
This fabulous British Tech toilet seat.
Hey, got at the bash last year, the British Tech toilet seat.
At the bash, so for anyone who didn't come to the bash, come to the bash, because you get a toilet seat.
No, there's no toilet seat this year, mate. We've got other prizes on offer.
I have an entire office painted around the fact that I have this toilet seat.
Yes, it was a good toilet seat, and I was chuffed that you got everyone signed. There's Ellis's signature right at the top, look.
Yeah, I think he said, don't like your scribbles, Dad.
Thank you.
But yeah, one of my prized possessions, so that's pretty cool.
There we go. So if you'd like to sign up to the petition and be ignored by Steve Coogan... we'll put the web address in the show notes. Jeff, what do you have for us, mate, as a cool thing?
All right, so this week I have this, which is actually not a pipe bomb. What it is, it's a portable charger, USB-based charger, so a little plug on the end here for charging, and whatever device has a USB connection for charging pops into this end, and so you can take it anywhere you want to go, and it's really durable. It's a machined aluminum case. Nice little button right there, so you can see how much charge you have. This is from a company called Goal Zero, and it's called the Switch 8. I think these are $40. So it's a really durable, portable recharger.
Excellent.
And they've also designed it so it works really efficiently with these portable solar panels they sell. So you could go, like what I can do, I can go out to the backcountry out here, and I could take this with me plus a solar panel, and I could keep my my digital camera or my iPhone or whatever charged throughout a trip as long as I have sunlight. So it's it doesn't weigh very much either. When you look at it, it looks like it ought to weigh a lot more than it actually is.
Good. Did you say a price?
I think they're $40.
Right, okay. Jolly good. DHM, Andrew Nay, do you have a cool thing? Yes. You're your own secret... you're your own secret identity.
It's the wrong way around. No, that's not the wrong way around. It's not the wrong way around. Because Clark Kent is Superman's secret identity. Is he not, Jeff?
No, I agree with that. I agree. I've been catching up on the podcast. By the way, I'd started the episode 4 just to edit it. That's not what I told you to do at all.
Oh, did I misunderstand?
Yeah, you've got that completely wrong, mate. Something closer to one and a bit more than one would be great. No, but I'm catching up slowly. I've listened to them this week while I've been driving around, and I don't know if you guys would be interested, but I've got issue 1 of Roy of the Rovers in the loft at my parents' house. Would you like a picture of it for the show or not? Not that you do video or anything, but it's not cool, is it?
But we could still share pictures between us.
Yeah. And I had issue 1 of 2000 AD as well, but I don't know if that's still up there.
You've got a Google community to share pictures on as well.
I must say, it used to be worth quite a lot, and it's not worth that much anymore.
Okay. Anyway, cool thing, please, Andrew.
Cool things. Yes, I do have a cool thing. And because we're not allowed to do iOS and Mac stuff, and in the rest of the technology world, I'm a bit of a noob, really. I've gone for something different. Although it's quite technology-driven, on iTunes, it's a band, a fairly unknown band called Public Service Broadcasting, that I did have a discussion in a chat and introduced James Hart to. It's quite nice. It's like a synth, electronic synth band. What they do is they have like a whole list, a load of compelling riffs and things, which they mash up with 1940s and 1950s public information films, kind of films about the war, you know, and stuff like that. And they create these like really fascinating soundscapes as they go. The kind of go-to album on iTunes, the one that is most accessible, really, is an EP called The War Room, which has only the 5 tracks on it, and they're all brilliant. Although Spitfire is one about the creation, and the Spitfire aeroplane is a doozy. It's a kind of you know, if you're into technology, if you like tech, they're a very tech person's band. They obviously, you know, they're a lot of programming and stuff. They're obviously geeks.
Good. And what's the style, though?
The style?
Of the music, is it?
They're kind of, I mean, I want to say they're not, but, you know, on an accessible audience level, you'd say it's the Pet Shop Boys, but completely not commercially the Pet Shop Boys. On a less accessible level, I would say probably they're more like Lemon Jelly.
Bearing in mind you're trying to sell this.
But they're not really. They're their own thing. It's a very, very sort of geek-friendly. Everyone I know who's in IT and geek and likes their technology and hears it, loves it. Okay. There is something very technology about it, but also the love of the, you know, integrating all of the old media stuff into the music it's lovely.
Okay.
I can see why James would like it. I should imagine Ross would as well, wouldn't he?
Yeah, I mean, James loved Kraftwerk and that kind of stuff, so.
Yeah, a bit Kraftwerky. That gives a Kraftwerky vibe, but it's warmer than Kraftwerk. Kraftwerk's very sort of sterile. It's a, you know,
Germans.
But public service broadcasting is got a lot more warmth to it than that.
Good pick,
the War Room EP is the way place to start. It's £3.49. Really, 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 really well spent on iTunes.
Excellent. Good man. Thank you very much. Carl, what do you have?
Well, I do have an iOS pick, I'm afraid, but I think I read something as well developing it for Android as well. It's called More Electro Trains. And all it is you just guide your trains around this little track. There's about six tracks on there. And you've got to try and stop them all from crashing. This is early on in the game, so it's quite slow at the moment. But then as they go around, you have to redirect them into the various coloured stations. Oh, see, I've missed that one. Direct them into the stations. Oh, sorry, you can't see that. And it gets faster and faster and faster, and you get more trains come onto the track, and it gets more and more hectic until one of the trains crashes and it's your game over. And it's a very good morning motion game. I know you like them, Ewan.
I like morning motion games.
69p in the App Store at the moment, and I think he's working on an Android app.
Excellent. No, I picked.
What's morning motion?
What's the morning motion?
It depends on how lucky you are.
Are you serious, Sarah? The morning motion?
I assume you're talking about it in terms of a genre of game, aren't you?
No, the morning motion is when you go for a shit.
Oh, right. Okay. Sorry. I thought it was a specific genre of game I'd never heard of.
Yeah, you're going highbrow there, and you should know better with me.
Yeah. All right. Okay. All right.
I'm sorry, Sarah.
That's all right.
If I've embarrassed you, I didn't mean to.
No, you haven't embarrassed me. It takes far more than that.
Jolly good.
Anyway,
Sarah, it's your pick, mate.
Yes, my pick is also a game. Now, I'm not a great gamer. But a few months ago, I actually got, on someone's iPad, I actually discovered Bejeweled Blitz, and it's recently become available for Android, so I've been playing it like mad on my tablet now, and absolutely, it's becoming a bit addictive, and I know a few people that are actually addicted to it, but I absolutely love it. But yeah, that's it, really. I'm sure everyone's heard of Bejeweled Blitz, so I'm not going to go into detail on it.
Batwish in the chat room just choked. She says, Siri uses an iPad.
That's someone else's.
My pick is Paul Kirkhall. Because he's a dude. I asked him if he would do us a bit of artwork for the Bash, and this is what he's come up with. It's absolutely bloody brilliant. Quite how he knows that I've got shorts that are that long. And I've got a set of black shoes.
That picture of you is awesome, Ewan. It is. It is.
Is that what I look like then?
No, but I mean, as one professional cartoonist to another in terms of Paul Kirkle, that, yes, I saw that and I was just like, punched the air, brilliant.
Excellent.
He's good.
He's a good guy.
Well, he is, because he said, what's the theme of the Bash? And I said, well, you know, pigs, beer, space hoppers and card-cutting championships. So all the logos are the cards, you see, and then there's the space hoppers there and stuff, and the beer and the pig in the background. So, I don't know what the gnome thing is at the front. I have to check out with him what that is about, but I'm sure it means something.
It's not Ellis, is it?
Kids, welcome.
What's the name on the back of the shirt? And then above number three, I can't.
It says Bash 3.
Oh, cool. Bash, of course it is.
Bash 3.
Cool.
The British Tech Network, Birmingham, July 6, 2013. the third bash. I've ordered a couple of T-shirts, one with this on. So
you should have got that on the site, Ewan, for the logo for the bash.
Well, we'll take down the ticket thing next week, and you can put this up instead. But Paul, thank you so much. You are an absolute gentleman for doing that. And unfortunately, Paul's been asked to talk at an event, and he can't come to the bash.
No!
Yeah, he can't come to the bash. He's absolutely gutted, as am I. So there's going to be loads of people there, though. It's going to be loads and loads of fun. We'll have tons and tons of activities. Sharon's gone out today, and she's come back with absolutely bagfuls of things for the kids to do on the day. And there'll be finger painting for the adults as well. So there you go.
Ab.
Paul, thank you very much for the artwork, mate. It's great. And I noticed as well, look, if you look there, smack next to me face, comic show's in there. Yeah, see? Yeah. Comic show. I'm up to episode 2. I'm at the end of issue 2 now, so I need to get onto issue 3 this week. But I'm catching up slowly. And I'm enjoying it, actually. Because I thought I'd listen to that, and you guys would be talking about stuff that I had no clue. And I've got to say, the one that you mentioned, Jeff, the Worm Boy one in the middle of the two in the supermarket was, whoever it was, Ant Boy, Ant-Man. Didn't know anything about those. I know Kelly was taking the piss, but I'm actually enjoying it, because a lot of the stuff you're mentioning, I have got recollections of when I was a kid. So
awesome.
You know you were saying about something Lord?
Star-Lord.
Yeah, wasn't it Warlord?
Well, there was a Warlord comic, but Star-Lord was also the comic that I think I mentioned Star-Lord in passing.
Yeah, you did. Mm.
Short, about 24 issues, I think it ran.
But Warlord, because didn't Warlord merge with the Eagle as well? Because Dan Dare came over for a while with the Mekon and that kind of stuff. So, there you go. Never mind. Only vague recollections. You've got to listen to the comic show. These two guys are on it, Jeff and Andrew. Superb. Well worth it, mate. I was sceptical. I have to say that I would enjoy it, but I've enjoyed every bit of it so far, mate. Well done. Great show.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Wright?
Well, you can get me online on Twitter at Fallen, and I hope to see a lot of people online next week at the Bash.
I've got to say, dude, that rural broadband is shit.
Yeah, well, this Norwich, what do you get?
You're in 8-bit, mate. It's awful.
It's 4-bit. It's ridiculous.
I paid two quid a month extra so you could get better broadband, and look at it.
I got the red thing on Skype. You're lucky it hasn't
died. You look like Sauron when it goes off.
Yeah, I know.
Underwater.
I'm in a rural part of Ireland, and I'm getting much better bandwidth than that.
Come on, have you been to Norwich?
It's in Minecraft world.
Yeah, you're not one to talk, Jeff.
Oh,
your porn download's crapping with the bandwidth.
Yeah, well, to be fair, all of the bits that get to me have to come uphill because I live up in the mountains. So it slows them. You're not buying this at all, are you?
No. It's not the smoke, mate. You're torrenting
it's just
and you know
crap
it.
Connection.
Where can we get you, mate?
That crazy.
Okay, you can find me at macobserver.com. And you can find me on Twitter and app.net. I'm Jay Gamut on both of those. You can find me at freshbrewedtales.com, where that's where I talk about all of the ridiculous stuff I see in coffee shops. And you can find me on Apple Context Machine and on the comic show. We just talked about that. And we have communicators and a bunch of other podcasts, too.
Mm, good, man. Thank you very much. Very much enjoy your contribution on the comic show with Andrew, who is below you. Where are you, mate?
Where am I? Yes, we've done the comic show, as ever, awesome. Not the Mac show this week, but normally the Mac show. On the Twitters, Dr. Happy Mac, on the pretty much everything on the internet that I'm connected with is at Dr. Happy Mac. And a pleasure to be here.
And your real name is Andrew.
It is Andrew.
Good man. Well done. And we'll see you at the Bash next week. Curry on the Friday night, Bash on the Saturday.
I'm there.
Are you looking forward to the curry?
Yeah, well, who's not? What's not to look forward to? Curry in Birmingham with a bunch of people and the best curry house in the world?
Exactly.
I mean,
I've built it up.
What is not to look forward to?
Is it something worth looking forward to, Carl? You've eaten there.
Absolutely, yes. You better hope he doesn't have an off night, I tell you.
Batwench sent a thing out this week, and she said, would it be better if we all kind of pre-ordered so he wouldn't have a problem? I'm like, the place is packed. every night. It's open 7 days a week, and it's always packed. You go in at 9 o'clock, you can't get tables any night of the week, Mondays included. So the fact that we've got the thing at all, this guy is used to cooking to a full restaurant constantly. Some people are going to have to wait a bit longer than others, obviously, but to physically take the orders and get them into the kitchens. But we'll all be off cut by that point anyway. Beer starts in the Bradford Arms from mid-afternoon, say, something like that.
So this means there's going to be a group of people hanging around outside really annoyed at us lot.
Yeah, they'll be coming in saying, can I have a table? And we'll be going, no, sod off. We're only four tables away from booking the entire restaurant, I think. Four covers. Wow. Four more covers, and that's the entire restaurant booked out.
I hope he's got loads of Cobra beers in.
Oh, he's got barrels of the stuff, mate. It's on tap, and he's got Guinness as well on tap, and bottles thereafter, and wine and all sorts. He's a good lad. Where are you, Mr. Madden?
You can get me on Twitter at Clausio101. And I now understand that joke Andy made last week, which I didn't understand, the Bender reference.
The what? Oh.
But Andy made a joke last week about I sounding like Bender when I went Clause 0101. But
oh, okay.
I understand that. It took me a whole week to suss out what he meant. Sorry about that. But also, you can get me on Google Plus under my proper name, as well as in the various communities for all the shows.
Thank you for those, mate. They are absolutely excellent. If you haven't signed up to the communities, you damn well should. Carl oversees them all, and there's some fantastic conversations in there. And there was a magical picture of Bill and Ben went up for you and Kyle. we'll be back. And Sarah, where are you, girl?
Well, I'm in Ireland at the moment.
And you're staying there, right? You're not here next week.
Yes, I'm going to be here right the way through till nearly the end of July now. You can get me on the Twitters at SarahJaneUK and on Google Plus.
I can't believe you're not flying back for the bash.
Not this year, unfortunately.
You did last time.
It's rather a big event going on a week on Monday. Unfortunately, so
you'll be back in time. It's fine.
Next year,
isn't it your birthday on the day of the bash?
No, not this year.
Oh, right, okay.
There's stuff going on from Friday, so.
Well, it wasn't last year then either, because it was the 6th.
No. It was just the first bash was actually my birthday was actually on the day of the bash. But last year, I think it was the day. Was it the day before? Was it 2 days before? I think. I flew over on the Friday, didn't I?
Right. Yes, you did. And then flew out first thing.
And then flew Saturday. Out Saturday. Flew back on Saturday morning.
Sarah, she's going to get me to post your birthday present. She points it direct. Just DM each other an address, for God's sake. Don't use me. Double the postage costs. Ridiculous. Right. We'll be back again next week with all the podcasts of the bash. If you're going to tune in live on Friday, you'll be sat twiddling your thumbs in the chat room on your own because we ain't going to be here. Come to the bash. There'll be no live broadcast. You're going to have to be there to see all the fun. There will be a Dad and the Dude. Batwinch has asked if there's going to be a Dad and the Dude. There will be a Dad and the Dude. Ellis has yet to pick the topic, however. Could be interesting. He's doing sex education at school, so it could be bad. It could be real bad. We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.